With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, ready to go. So Michael,
what gimmick is up your sleeve?
We have many gimmicks today.
It's exciting.
So to kick us off, I have another one of my beloved coasters.
Yes.
This is Daniel Ricciardo is on this in his McLaren gear.
Lily handed me a coaster of Daniel Ricciardo in the quote beneath his caricature drawing is, sometimes you gotta lick the stamp and send it.
Sometimes you just gotta lick the stamp and send it. A lot of the time you get one chance to try, so I made the most of every opportunity.
Man, from what I can tell about him, likable guy.
Very likable guy.
Comes across as likable guy.
Yep, and yep. We will get to the Ballad of Daniel Ricciardo.
Yes.
Very soon. From iHeartRadio and Sports Illustrated Studios, this is
Choosing Sides. Yay! F1.
Wow!
Wow-hoy.
So, first and foremost, we're talking about a team.
Yeah.
That is historic. It is revered.
Mm-hmm.
It is storied.
Mm-hmm.
It is the second winningest team on the grid and of all time in F1.
That's a lot of races.
That is a ton of races. Yeah. Second only to Ferrari.
Yep.
And they have had a rough go of it as of late. The team we are talking about today, which is America's kind of informal team, is McLaren.
McLaren. So who is McLaren? I've heard this name all the time.
McLaren.
And even as an American, I feel familiar somewhat with the brand, but I really don't know a whole lot.
Yeah. So McLaren is definitely one of the more historic teams on the grid. It's one of only three that's been around for decades that has kept the same name over time.
Love that.
The other two are
Ferrari
and then the other
Williams.
Yes.
Yes!
So, McLaren was founded by a New Zealand racing driver named Bruce McLaren in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
He won 4 Grands Prix and got 27 podiums during his time in racing. It's great, except that he died in a test driving accident in 1970 at the age of 32.
Damn.
Yeah. So that sucks.
Yeah, that does suck.
Ended, obviously, a very storied career, tragically and abruptly. But they kept the McLaren name alive. McLaren really had its initial heyday starting in the late 70s into the early 2000s.
Okay.
It was known for really having a lot of innovative engineering, mm-hmm. playing around a lot with like weights of cars and aerodynamics and kind of trying things out. And obviously, after a certain point, that attracts some of the best drivers. They're also home to some of the greatest rivalries on the grid. In the late 80s, early 90s, for instance, there were two drivers, Alain Prost and Ayrton Senna. They both won several world championships.
And same team.
Yeah, same team.
I think everyone knows Prost by now. He is always complaining either. It's never his fault.
If I find him again the same way, I push him out. That's for sure.
The way he's doing, he's behaving like a coward.
They are kind of the quintessential example of rivalry within a team and how that can almost tear the team apart, right?
Right.
Ayrton Senna died back in 1994 in a very tragic accident that was very public during a race weekend.
Okay.
And it's very much an accident that you can see online, which mm-hmm. is very grim and morbid.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was very public. A driver had already died that weekend. It's all just very sad. He was carrying the driver's like country flag in his car to wave it after the race. Like, it's just all really depressing.
That doesn't happen in golf.
Yeah. So basically McLaren, historic team.
Not a nail unbitten in the McLaren garage.
McLaren's success today meant that they finished the Constructors' Championship first.
I really can't find any words. Absolutely great.
They were the number one team for a while?
They were number one team, and Lewis Hamilton won his first world championship 2008 in a McLaren.
Got it.
So he was really a McLaren guy. That's why it was so shocking when he left.
Lewis Hamilton is set to leave McLaren. The 2008 F1 World Champion will race for Mercedes.
The team took a real nosedive starting in the early 2010s. They didn't really nail the new regulations in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
They had really ineffective leadership, a lot of drama between team co-owners, behind-the-scenes kerfuffles, if you will. They had mechanical problems. They had iffy drivers at times and had some other kind of inner team drama
mm-hmm.
that all kind of led to a real slump. 2017, 2018, around this time, where it just was really not looking good for them. The longtime McLaren fans were really not feeling great.
Really tough. Yeah, quite embarrassing, really, to be floating around at the back.
Before we get to the present day and kind of their upswing, we're going to talk about one of the great F1 scandals.
Mm.
And of course, you know it's serious. It's called Spygate.
I was going to say, it must have a gate at the end of it.
I was going to say, the gate comes in, spy gate. We're going to go back to Ferrari for a second. So Ferrari at this point is in a championship battle with McLaren. McLaren has two different drivers, the rivals Lewis Hamilton and mm-hmm. Fernando Alonso, mm-hmm. in the hunt for that same title.
Mm-hmm.
So they have at Ferrari a higher-up employee named Nigel Stepney. He starts publicly and privately complaining about being unhappy with the team. He doesn't like them. He's kind of over it.
With Ferrari. Okay.
All of a sudden, one day, Ferrari alleges that this guy, Nigel Stepney, gave almost 800 pages of confidential Ferrari information to a McLaren senior engineer named Mike Coughlin.
Oh, Nigel and Mike, what are you doing?
So that's already like Nigel and Mike doing a lot.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets very funny of how they discovered this at Ferrari.
Right.
So here's what we know is that, or the belief is that, Nigel gives these pages to Mike Coughlin.
Yep.
Mike Coughlin's wife, just like a random other lady, takes the 780 pages to like a printer store.
Oh, shit.
Remember those back in like 2007? To a printer store to have them photocopied.
Right.
And the person, the employee who works at the printer store who's helping with this is a Ferrari fan.
I love it.
Who realizes that they are helping print confidential Ferrari information.
What's the Ferrari fans called?
The Tifosi.
Tifosi.
Yes. The Tifosi came through so hard in this story. And so then the Tifosi person goes to Ferrari, is like, hey, whistleblowing the shit out of this. Someone came into my store and like is printing out documents. So obviously
that's crazy.
It's fucking nuts.
That's
pardon
nuts.
My French. The F-bomb was necessary. Just like the wildest, weirdest coincidence to have a Ferrari fan running the printer shop that day.
What does it say about me that I blame the wife? You know, it's like of all the places you're going to pick that place, but maybe, I mean, where do you go? Where do you copy it? You can't copy it at home. I bet you this happened all the time that we don't know about.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's a lot of, as we know, teams will be very hush-hush, but every team is not hush-hush about every other team.
Yeah, correct.
That's how we know driver salary estimations. Yeah. It's not from the teams, but everyone loves to gossip in the F1 paddock. So Coughlin from McLaren and Stepney from Ferrari are very quickly dismissed as soon as this all comes to light. You know, the FIA is... You know, the governing body is immediately like, well, we got to do something about this. We got to have hearings because we know bureaucrats love nothing more than a hearing.
Yep.
It gets them going in the morning.
Yep.
And their big question mark is, did McLaren have access to these documents, you know, en masse? And did they use the information they got from them to get an advantage in the sport? So initially, they say,
we have not at any stage used any intellectual property of any other team.
Oh, no, this guy Coughlin acted alone, as did Stepney. It's very contained. No one at McLaren saw these documents.
I don't believe that.
We'll get into all of that right after the break.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000. Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion. Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me do a quick recap, just so I understand.
Yes, recap.
Lewis Hamilton and Fernando both race for McLaren.
Yes, at this point.
McLaren is in a tight race with Ferrari.
For the titles,
For the titles. Nigel Ferrari secretly gave Mike McLaren 800 pages. Mike McLaren's wife photocopied it at the local
Kinko's.
The Ferrari fan works at the Kinko's. And turned him in.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got that right. Thank you. You did a great job explaining that to
Thank
me.
You.
And I would also think this is not the first time this has happened. And I would also think they did use this information. And I would also think more people were involved. But that's just me. Here we go.
Okay, here's what's also going on. So the backdrop of this whole thing is Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso, they're really duking it out for this title. Absolutely hate each other. Okay. And basically, Lewis does something that could have been seen as like borderline not kosher.
Mm-hmm.
And Fernando gets angry at it and sort of tries to sabotage the race
because
he's so pissed.
No, Alonso's not getting on with it. Only a minute and 40 to go. Is he blocking Hamilton here?
That was a little bit naughty, I think.
And then the FIA basically says, McLaren, you got to get your shit together. Your drivers are like putting the sport at risk and making us look bad. This is a couple weeks after the initial photocopy whistleblowing incident in the FAI hearing. But what comes out of this whole issue is, so basically, Fernando Alonso, being pissed off and a petty person, goes to the FIA and he's like, hey, me and the reserve driver at McLaren, this dude Pedro De La Rosa, have emails that prove that McLaren know about these documents, have read them, and have, like, used them to our advantage.
So he's snitching on his own team.
Snitching on his own team because he's pissed about how he feels like they're treating him versus Lewis Hamilton
the
whole thing.
Dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is your employer. They sign your $1 million check.
Yeah.
Oof.
So then, of course, the head honcho at McLaren at the time, Ron Dennis, is saying that, you know, Alonso's just trying to blackmail them because he's pissy and butthurt, et cetera, et cetera. But of course, the FAA look into this. They claim that they get substantial evidence that this is, in fact, the case. And they hand down a $100 million fine to McLaren.
Unprecedented in the history of Formula One.
If not just sports history. $100 million. And
dock their points from 2007's championship. Withdrawn them from next year's championship as well, which makes it even more draconian.
Wow.
You had different team members and personnel coming out with all sorts of statements.
I'm absolutely appalled. I'm disgusted. There is a grave possibility of it wiping McLaren off the Formula One map altogether.
Just true madness.
Wow.
So here's the funny thing where I love, like, the ethics of F1 are very inconsistent is, you would think they would say, oh, if we're disqualifying and giving this huge fine, we'll disqualify the drivers too. But no.
The good news for Lewis Hamilton and for his teammate Fernando Alonso in the McLaren team are that they won't be punished. Their points won't be taken away.
The FIA's official reasoning is they say, well, you know, the drivers are really honest with us and we appreciate their honesty. In actuality, they were locked in a very compelling championship battle with this third guy at the other team implicated in this whole situation. And they didn't want to suddenly have two to three drivers go poof in the night. So the team is in trouble, but not the individual drivers.
That's interesting. And it adds to the complexity of Formula One in that there is also this engineering component there's also a race for the engineering.
Exactly. Yeah. So as I said, this is 2007. McLaren, a couple years later, starts to have a little bit of a slide down the rankings.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of drama. This is going to hurt you.
Yeah, this seems like a lot of drama. Like I said, they had leadership problems. They had some driver issues. They had mechanical problems. Just everything was not adding up for them. It was poorly managed. There were money problems. The list goes on and on. However, they made a couple of big changes towards the end of this downturn. One, a lot of the original owners who are causing issues, like Ron Dennis, they end up leaving, but not without, again, lots of drama. A guy named Zach Brown ends up coming in, and he's an American. He's the California dude bro.
He's the dude bro.
Yeah. And they make some other big changes to their leadership. And basically, by 2020, they end up in third place in the championship.
Oh, yeah, boys!
Are those tears, mate?
No, definitely not.
And then this past year, they were in third, but ended up in fourth. So they went from kind of being in you know, bottom of the grid to being kind of in that best of the rest category, where them and Ferrari were sort of, you know, duking it out for that unofficial informal title, which is exciting.
Yeah.
In terms of leadership, yeah, they have this guy, Zach Brown. I'll show you photos of Zach Brown.
Not to be mistaken with Zach Brown Band.
Band, no. Spelled slightly differently. Okay. But Zach Brown is from California.
Yep.
Was born in, I think, Los Angeles. So here is Zach Brown.
Zach Brown doesn't really fit the same kind of mold as the rest of these guys. Zach Brown looks American, silver foxy. Probably got, you know, how do I say this kindly? He's not as fit as the other team principals. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
He actually used to also be a racing driver, not in F1 or anything like that. But he's very knowledgeable about cars. He has his own giant car collection.
Okay. Not as alpha male-ish looking.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Red Bull and they're pretty tough on their drivers publicly. That's not my approach. It's more of a, we're in this together. What can I give you or do for you?
Good time guy. Yeah. Very, gets very enthusiastic and will shout and woo a lot when they win or do well.
Zach is so ingrained into that McLaren racing team.
You're hearing from popular F1 TikToker Josh Marsh.
That, like, people, like, all the time are like, what is Zach, like, what is his role? Like, is he team boss? Like, what is he? It's like, oh, no, he's just the CEO. He's just always there.
I love that a CEO is around all the time.
Like, he's there on the pit wall. He's there with the engineers. He's, like, with the drivers. So that, like, kind of camaraderie and like that dedication to the team, I love to see, because just as a team, the things that they do as a team is so, like, so different.
That's cool.
Yeah. So Zach Brown actually had a really fun bet going with Daniel Ricciardo at the start of Daniel's first season, where he said, hey, Daniel, you're new to McLaren. If you get a podium, I will let you drive one of Dale Earnhardt's cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Because he knows that Daniel Ricciardo is the biggest Dale Earnhardt fan.
That's awesome. Thanks, man.
He decided to race under the number 3 because of Dale Earnhardt. He loves NASCAR. And sure enough, when Daniel Ricciardo won Monza in 2021, he got to drive that car at the U.S. Grand Prix, no less. And then similarly, when Daniel won a race last year in 2021, Zach Brown and him had another bet going, and Zach got a tattoo of the Monza circuit on his arm with the date of the win. So that, and of course, they brought everyone with cameras there.
That's
it was
huge.
All over social media. But he's the kind of guy who will do kind of funny stuff like that that's kind of absurd. And he holds up his end of the bargain. So.
And as a player, if your coach, leader is doing that stuff, you love that.
Exactly. The other thing, too, that McLaren did really well, kind of as they were building up, is around the time they were really having trouble is when that company Liberty Media bought F1 from our old friend Bernie from way back when.
Yep.
McLaren, around the same time, decided, hey, we're going to kind of do almost like a brand refresh.
I think I enjoyed watching that shift of watching McLaren go from like a, yes, we are all business and no fun, to like a lighthearted team, very more fun, more enjoyable. And then I saw McLaren was one of the first teams to do a lot more on the social media side of things, you know, with like TikTok, with YouTube videos.
Okay. Funny little things hey, we're gonna play songs for you and you're gonna guess what the song is. Just basic stuff that kind of gave fans more of this inside look at the team to make them feel like they were part of it.
Hey, I'm Lando Norris.
Hi, I'm Daniel Ricciardo.
Where did that come from?
Which I'm sure the athletes hated, but fans love.
Exactly. And now it's more par for the course. You know, coming into F1, you're going to have to do that. That was not the case even, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. So this was all brand new. But McLaren also, for instance, has a very popular race weekend recap series called Unboxed, where their media team just goes around filming things. There's no narration over it. It's just filming what goes on over
a
race weekend.
That's cool.
We're going to go see the Senna Monument, where he had his fatal accident May 1st, 1994. And I remember it like it was yesterday. It was unbelievably sad.
And fans immediately, you know, loved it.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'd like to check that out.
it feels like you're not just a fan of McLaren, like you're part of the McLaren family. And like, that's pretty sick, like that they can make you feel like that.
So this all coincided too with the launch of that show Drive to Survive on Netflix, right, which started airing in 2019. McLaren had already started building up this really strong social media presence, this digital presence, and Drive to Survive was aimed at a lot of North American fans, mm-hmm, particularly Americans. Mm-hmm. So despite the fact that Bruce McLaren is from New Zealand, the McLaren team is based in the UK, it's become the unofficial American team on the grid. I think some people have like adopted almost Zach Brown as the unofficial American mascot.
USA.
And now obviously we want to talk about the drivers, but before we do that, we are going to take a quick ad break.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We're back from the ad break. I want to hear about the McLaren drivers.
So they have two of who I would argue are the most marketable drivers on the entire grid.
That is,
they have Lando Norris and they have Daniel Ricciardo. Mm-hmm. Lando and Daniel are fun in that they are so different mm-hmm. from each other, both in terms of personality and in terms of where they are in their careers, and then also where they are in terms of McLaren, the team. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with Lando. Lando is 22, and as Ferrari is a big Charles Leclerc team, and as Red Bull is a giant Max Verstappen team, McLaren is a giant Lando Norris team. Mm. So Lando, yeah, is from the UK. He's British. His family does have wealth. His dad is worth £230 million at last calculation. And for some reason, this is available on the internet, that at one point his dad was the 501st richest person in England. We've talked about some drivers who, you know, their families had to really struggle to make ends meet and have them race in even karting. This is not necessarily the case for Lando. I would say the Norris family seems very fun, though. Like, his parents seem relatively normal. Like, they aren't... Like whereas Max's dad, we have all this stuff to say. They're kind of in the background. They randomly show up to races in a very cute moment after Lando won a podium. He got a podium at Monaco. There's a clip of him in a McLaren Unbox video of him talking to his mom,
Hi, mom.
While he's holding his trophy. And he's like, yeah, you were right. I did win.
You were right, mom. You were right.
Yeah.
His teammates are kind of making fun of him. They're going like, Mummy.
Mummy. I did a thing. Can I call you back in like 2 minutes?
That's cool.
So he's a kid. He's a mama's boy. So Lando, grew up racing against a lot of these other people we talk about, like a George Russell, another mm-hmm. person who's in the mix, this guy Alex Albon, all these drivers on the grid who are kind of from the UK, mm-hmm. had to race in karting together at some point. They obviously also race people like Max Verstappen. Mm-hmm. There's like hilarious photos online of Lando, who is the tiniest person. Yeah, he's only 5'7" now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this tiny like shrimp of a kid, and then Max Verstappen looks like a giant next to him, and they're like 13 years old. You know, it's very funny. So, yeah, Lando was sort of he started driving under McLaren's Young Drivers Program long ago. He became an F1 driver when he was only 19 years old.
Wow.
And you think he's tiny now. He looked tiny then as a barely 19-year-old, you know, barely legal adult who was on the grid. I think there were some people who were really skeptical, despite him having a very good race record, of him coming on, especially that young and in the midst of the McLaren team really not doing well. Mm-hmm. You know, Lando showed up and McLaren was not great.
So
it was probably hard for him to be like, well, I've already put so many eggs in this basket. I'm going to go, you know, I'm gonna go with my gut and go with this team. So yeah, so Lando came in very much as the golden boy, or sort of the idea was we're going to build this program around Lando. Not to say that they're going to ignore the second driver like Red Bull almost does in a lot of cases.
Right.
But the idea was, you know, we invested all this time in Lando's career. He's coming in.
Right.
This was happening right after, you know, Zak Brown had only been with the team for a little bit. He really loved Lando. They have a great relationship. And the idea was we're all going to build together. So Lando comes in. He's doing great. He also, at the time when he came in, he drove for his first 2 years with Carlos, who's now at Ferrari. They have a very close friendship. Mm. They're called Carlando by the fan base.
It's better than Lando's.
Exactly. Yeah. Carlando. Carlando. I've seen merch that has like gravestones that say like RIP Carlando on them. Like people were very passionate about them as a driver pairing.
Right.
But on that in that dynamic, Carlos was faster than Lando both years.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
So on top of that, what makes Lando a little different than other drivers, he kind of is very public about having a life and a career outside of F1.
Oh, okay.
So whereas, you know, we know about Max Verstappen is he is like all about driving 24/7. In particular,
alrighty, everybody.
Lando is known for doing a ton of Twitch streaming, and he has an esports / lifestyle brand and team called Quadrant. His number on the grid is number 4. It's quintessential. Like some teenager came up with this, and they think it's brilliant. And you're like, okay,
we're lucky people. We're getting to play F1 2021, and we're doing it at no other racetrack than Baku. In Azerbaijan, where I'm racing this weekend.
Obviously, it's not for money, but it's smart from a marketing standpoint that he has something else going on. But of course, when he first entered at 19, there was a lot of criticism of him being interested in other stuff like Twitch streaming, right? People were like, this kid is not, you know, taking this sport seriously. This little punk is not focusing on his racing.
Track difficulty, very hard, apparently.
And you know, it was also hard because McLaren wasn't doing well. So he wasn't necessarily killing it on the grid because he was a rookie at a team that was really trying to build back up. And having all this criticism at that age is hard. He's actually talked a lot about it. And he's one of the only drivers who's very open about his mental health and the toll that being an F1 driver can take on a person, which is definitely very different.
You know, it's good that their necks are so strong because there's so much going on in the head. Yeah. I don't know. You can edit that out or replay it many times.
I mean, Lando does have like a very thick neck for his like their he's got a big head.
Their necks are unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm baffled at their neck strength. Okay, so that's Lando. Who's the other driver?
Daniel Ricciardo. Technically, his name should be pronounced Ricciardo if we were going by the Italian pronunciation, but Daniel the Australian does not care. Daniel, there's a reason why if you watch the show Drive to Survive, Daniel is the first driver you meet in the very first episode of the first season.
Yes.
And it makes complete sense. Yes. Because this happened to me when I watched Drive to Survive. Yes. All of my friends, regardless of gender, this happened to them where they said, oh my God, I am so invested in this one guy.
Yes.
He is personable. He is very positive.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great with press. He's great with the media. He's great with fans.
It seems effortless. I haven't seen Drive to Survive. I was specifically told by Sports Illustrated not to watch it. But you meet Daniel Ricciardo over the internet. And you immediately like him because he's not putting it on. It doesn't feel like it, at least.
Yeah, that's just how he is. Now there are other drivers who do have personalities on the grid, whether you like them or not. They're giving us more. But especially when Daniel even started, you know, over a decade ago, that wasn't necessarily the case.
Yeah.
And he was always very open and fun, even with the media back then, in a way that other drivers weren't or really tried hard not to be. So he always stood out, not just in terms of the personality he has, but in comparison to literally, you know, 90% of the grid.
How is your relationship with Nico Hülkenberg compared to your relationship with Max? How are you boys doing?
I mean, they're both non-sexual, which is certainly beneficial for the working environment.
Is Daniel one of the better drivers?
Yeah, so Daniel's an interesting case. So Daniel's a very fun driver to watch. He can be aggressive when he needs to be. Yep.
There's just something about the way that Daniel races.
Josh Marsh.
He is like aggressive, and he's very bold and ballsy with the like with the moves that he will make, and I really like that. I like the risk that he's taken in races. He's had a lot of race wins.
He was really considered at one point to be a driver who was going to win a championship. Here's how it went for him. So Daniel started out in Red Bull's Young Driver Program.
Mm-hmm.
He distinguished himself very quickly. He was really talented very, very early on. He got his start on a very short-lived and disastrous team called HRT, not important, but within a year, he went over to that junior sister team at Red Bull, Toro Rosso, mm-hmm. now AlphaTauri. He was there for a few seasons before he was promoted to the Red Bull team, mm-hmm. right? And he was like a perfect person for Red Bull. He's positive. He's fun. They would make him do these weird challenges and drive the car in weird environments, and he loved it. And, you know, the crowd would eat it up wherever he was. He's just like the perfect encapsulation of that brand.
Correct.
And in a slightly less kind of alpha macho way, he's just very fun, right?
Yeah.
He does something that he has coined a shoey if he ends up on the podium, where he takes off his racing boot, you know, that he's had on for a whole race that is smelly and disgusting and like is like hot and gross.
I know where this is going.
He dumps his champagne on it or in it and then drinks out of it.
I love that. I want some tennis players to do that.
Yeah. It adds some pizzazz.
Yeah. A shoey.
Shoey.
Yeah, that's good.
Of course, he says it with his like Australian accent, so it sounds cooler and hipper than when I say it.
I feel like I dug a hole for myself with this one. I'm just like walking along, minding my business, and they're like, do a shoey. I'm like, I don't actually just take my shoe off while I'm walking in the street and drink out of it.
However, by 2017, 2018, his teammate is Max Verstappen.
Oh, God.
And as we know,
Dr. Evil.
As we know, Red Bull's made it very clear that Max is their dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are like all in.
We'd love to know how exactly that all happened, but we'll talk about that in season two.
it'll take a while.
Yeah.
But so Daniel, obviously, he's older than Max. You know, he's 32 now. He was in his late 20s then. He's aware of what's going on. He feels like, hey, Red Bull might not be prioritizing me the same way. And in a somewhat surprising announcement, even to Red Bull, he says he's leaving the team at the end of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And even weirder, he is moving to a team called Renault, which everyone was like, Renault? They're kind of
lateral move, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah, it was kind of a weird move. And he was there for 2 years. It was kind of a weird fit. He didn't do poorly. He actually finished fifth in the championship his second year there. But it just, it was kind of an odd time for him. And again, he's same personality, still very happy-go-lucky, very work hard, play hard. But he then announces that he is going to move at the end of 2020 to McLaren.
Yeah.
So he went from being a guy who seemed almost like a one-team guy with the whole Red Bull organization to kind of bouncing around a little bit. Yeah. So here's where things get interesting. So McLaren announces this driver lineup, right? Lando and Daniel. The fan base is like, oh my God, these two fun, personable guys that we love on the internet are going to be together. This is going to be dope. Like, everything's going to be great. Like, people were so hype. But unsurprisingly, Lando's kind of used to being, you know, the keeper of his own domain. And I would say Daniel, despite being a Cancer on the zodiac sign, very much has like Leo energy. Like, he loves to be
that
like...
That means absolutely nothing to
me. Yeah, it makes sense to like 3% of the people listening. But he has like a lot of... he likes to be the center of attention. Yes. I'll put it that way. Yes. He likes to ham it up.
Yeah.
Lando hams it up in a different way. But these are two people who are kind of used to having the spotlight on them.
Yeah.
Albeit in very different ways.
Lando can be a little more quiet and a little more reserved. Then you have Daniel coming in just like, woo, let's go. So a lot of these initial videos you were seeing coming out from McLaren, it would really be Daniel carrying these videos and like trying his hardest. And Lando was like, he didn't really care to hang out with Daniel as much, honestly. Like, oh, maybe this relationship is not working. And in reality, it was just, they're very different people in the way that they approach racing and the way they approach life.
It's almost like there's a weird passive aggression to some of their interactions of like, I can't tell if he's kidding or if he is serious, and that is a problem. Like all their jokes to each other have that quality to them where you're like, oh, this body language is weird. And so what makes this worse is Lando, despite being behind Carlos for his first two seasons and being a rookie and making, you know, some mistakes even in his sophomore season, he has this guns blazing breakout season, particularly in the first half of 2021. So he's killing it. And on the flip side, Daniel isn't just kind of lagging a little bit behind. He is struggling at McLaren. There's lots of theories and reasons as to why. A big one that he brought up is, and everyone has said, the McLaren car, regardless of season, is just kind of built differently. Mm-hmm. Daniel has said that he almost had to relearn how to drive an F1 to drive the McLaren car. Like, it doesn't... You know, he kind of doesn't brake the same way he's used to. He can't really use his natural strengths to drive this car. So you have races where Lando is qualifying, you know, like P5, and then Daniel's qualifying like P16. Like, it's just huge discrepancies.
Yeah.
So it's very obvious that Lando is just killing it. And of course, he's had this car now. That was his third season. He's now been in that car for over 3 years. But, you know, Daniel's just having the hardest time getting it. And obviously, too, a lot of Daniel's whole vibe and persona and quote unquote brand is that he's winning. He's this fun guy.
Right.
It's a little bit harder to be like the positive fun guy when you suck. Yeah. When you
suck.
And the guy who's beating you on your team is a decade younger and is also really well liked, really popular. Yeah. So it's not even like
you get less press requests. You get to show off your personality a lot less, and no one even wants you to.
Thanks for your unwavering support. Is that
unwavering,
the right word?
That's the one.
Yeah, it's a good one. That. All right. See you, everyone. Hope you enjoyed.
The McLaren story in 2022 is turning into one where you're seeing two drivers on completely opposite trajectories.
Yeah.
So on one side, you've got Lando Norris, this young dynamic driver who had this breakout 2021 season. The world is his oyster.
Right.
Even if the McLaren car isn't quite there in 2022, there's still a lot of hope for him. He's still in conversations about one day being this championship caliber driver.
Right.
And then the opposite side of the garage, you've got Daniel Ricciardo, who has a massive fan base, is very beloved. But he has just been having a slog of a time for a year and a half at this point. And even some of the most diehard Daniel Ricciardo fans out there are worried that this is, in fact, the beginning of the end. You know, the real high points of his career are behind him.
I think he has what it takes to be a champion. I just don't think he's on the right team to be a champion. And I think that that is just, unfortunately, the way the cookie crumbles right now.
This is Nicole Sievers, a co-creator of Two Girls, One Formula, and a Danny Rick stan.
He's just all around a happy person, you know, despite his dumb comments he makes every now and again. Real golden retriever energy, you know? Just happy-go-lucky. Hard not to root for him when he's buddies with everyone in the paddock, always, like, cheering people on. He's got drive, and I just want what's best for him, and I want him to succeed, and I hold him close to my heart.
Sounds like she's talking about an ex.
McLaren has been hard for him this past season. So at this point, I think Danny Rick is a little bit of an underdog. And I want to see him return to his former glory of being Red Bull Danny. finishing first, second, podium after podium. I just don't think that a championship is in his future unless he gets like pulled up to Mercedes or, you know, back to Red Bull, which I don't want for him. I don't feel good about it, unfortunately. And I really hate to say that on the record in case, you know, this ever comes up in the court of law. But like, I'm not feeling good.
He did have some real high points, and he did win a race at Monza.
Yep.
But generally speaking, in 2021, not going to lie or mince words here, it's been a pretty bleak 2022 for most races if you're Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe he completely turns it around and has this gangbuster second half of the season.
Right.
But right now, there are a ton of rumors swirling around what Daniel Ricciardo is going to be doing next year. He is supposed to have a contract with McLaren through 2023, but they're just being incredibly opaque about what is going on with him.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so how does McLaren stack for you compared to the other three teams that you've heard about thus far?
I personally am more attracted to grit than shine. McLaren feels shiny. Like with their marketing, and Daniel is so fucking likable. You're like, is this guy a TV host or is he a professional competitor? But I get what everyone's saying. I'm buying what they're selling. I think that's cool. But I might like a little more Street Fighter.
So you just want Daniel like crash into someone. You'll be like, yeah, like we've got this.
No, I don't want that. I want Daniel to lose his shit on a reporter.
Ooh.
You know, and I want to see like the fire in his belly that for a moment doesn't care if he's accepted or liked by others.
Mm-hmm. He's just ready to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
So you want like slightly unhinged behavior.
I want a little bit unhinged behavior. And Lando seems like a really excellent driver who's slowly climbing, and he has the foundation to stay there when he gets all the way up. I like that too. Tennis has these guys who are so good so young, but you can tell they're kind of like foundationally aren't set up, and then they get there and they blow it or whatever. But it seems like Lando is slow and steady, young, going to the top. That's cool.
He's one of the youngest too out there, and right. still really holding his own.
They say in showbiz, the longer it takes you to go up, the longer it takes you to come down. And maybe that's what I was thinking about with Lando.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So are like the Checos and the Georges still at the top for you?
I do like those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how to answer that, but I do like the Lando-Daniel team. I do like that. I like the teams where the two drivers can both win.
Mm-hmm.
I know right now with McLaren, it feels like Daniel maybe kind of isn't there, but maybe he'll get there. So if that's an answer, that's my answer.
Okay, so next episode, we are switching gears. We're moving to a team that is almost like the true midfield.
Yeah.
We are moving to a team called Alpine, formerly called Renault.
Okay.
And they are also one of the teams that is responsible for another one of the biggest scandals
yes.
in F1 history.
Yes.
It's got everything. It's got crashes. It's got people turning on one another
yes.
within the same team.
Yes.
We love to see it. And it's got two very different drivers, one of whom is a scrappy young kid just trying to make his mark. And then you've got one of the titans in the sport of Formula One who's still out there 20 years later.
Okay.
So that will be Alpine.
This has been Choosing Sides, F1, a production of Sports Illustrated Studios and iHeartRadio. The show is hosted by Michael Costa and Lily Herman. This episode was produced by Lily Herman and our senior producer, Yochai Maital, who also did the sound design. At the Cutting Room Studios, we are recorded by engineer Rob O'Leary II. Mastering by Cella Weisblum. Max Miller is the executive producer, and Brennan Getchess is head of audio at SI Studios. At iHeartRadio, Sean Titone is our executive producer. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to us and leave a review. And if you want more F1 goodness, follow us on Instagram at ChoosingSidesF1.